Imagine how your life would be different if God turned one specific part of His sovereign control over to you. God would still be in charge of what happened and what didn't happen. He still would decide what blessings you got and didn't get. He still would choose whether to say yes or no to your prayers. Everything remains the same except this one thing. He turns the timing of it all over to you. It was up to you to decide when everything would happen. How would your life be different?
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
So Jairus follows the woman's example, trusts Jesus. We watch it, trust Jesus now. And then this, verse 37. Jesus did not let anyone follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So Jesus starts walking again now towards, he's done with the woman finally, and he starts walking toward Jairus' house, and everybody starts following the crowd. They wanted to come, and that's why they're there. And he turns around, he said, no, you can't come. You can't come, stay here. The crowd is stunned. Okay, and so then they just stand there, and Jesus starts walking, and it's just Jesus and the disciples, and he stops again, and he's like, no, that means you too. Disciples, you stay. Peter, James, John, you guys come. The rest, you stay here. Just the three. That's it. Now, why the three? This is the first time you see Jesus pick out, we call these the inner three, because they get to be in on the really special occasions like this, like the Transfiguration and so on. But rare occasions, Jesus will do this on important events. And it doesn't say why. It could be that those three men were going to play especially important roles as apostles after Jesus went back to heaven after the resurrection, and so they needed special training, and that's possible. Or it could be that these three were the ones that needed the most help, right? Because they're those three guys, I'm not saying they're the worst of the 12, but they could have been in the bottom four. Because James and John, remember that? They wanted to call down fire from heaven and just incinerate a whole town for not welcoming them. Not exactly the missionary vibe that Jesus is going for. James and John were the ones saying, well, we want the number one and number two places in your kingdom. And Peter rebuked Jesus for the whole cross idea. And Jesus called him Satan and everything. I mean, these three men had this massive, massive pride problem. So maybe it's just that these three are the inner three because they needed help more than the other ones. So it's like the bonehead discipleship class for dummies, you know, the remedial discipleship class. Anyway, they get to the house. They finally get to this house. Jesus and the three and Jairus and his friends, and they get to the house, and when they get there, it is a zoo, an absolute zoo. It's chaos. Verse 38. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Now, that seems bizarre to us, but that's actually how they did funerals back then. For us, everything's quiet at a funeral, right? Just whisper, and everything's quiet. Then, in that, it was the opposite. They believed that the more the person was loved, the louder everybody's going to cry when they're gone. And so if you really want to show your love, you cry louder and wail louder, even to the point where they hired professional wailers and flute players. If there wasn't enough noise, you dishonored the memory of the dead person. There was actually a law that said, no matter how poor you are, even if you're destitute poor, you have to hire at least two flute players and one wailing woman. Well, Jairus is a synagogue ruler. He's not poor. He would have hired a lot more than that. And so this would have been some kind of massive, loud cacophony of noise. And the whole funeral's in full swing already, which is why I told you, that gives you an idea how long Jesus took with that woman. That took a long time. It wasn't just a couple minutes. Must have been hours. And yet, there's no record of Jairus ever complaining. He not only trusts Jesus' ability to heal his daughter, he not only trusts Jesus' ability to raise her from the dead if necessary, but his trust in Jesus extends all the way to, get this, Jesus' timing, which is where it's really hard to trust Jesus, right? Isn't that where we stumble the most, with his timing? So often we have confidence in his power and we have confidence in his love, but not so much in his wisdom. We think his timing is off. He's like, Jesus, why are you waiting? Why are you delaying? I mean, I know you're infinite and omniscient and all that and everything, but why do you think you know better than me on what the timing should be? That's kind of how we feel. But God's delays are important because They place everything into the framework of His perfect plan. And not only that, but they help us discover where our faith is weak. Areas of unbelief in our hearts that would go undetected otherwise. When God delays and delays and delays, we start to see, oh, there's some unbelief there I need to deal with. You see that? Not only that, but it gives them a chance to do greater miracles. You know, you'll see this sometimes in the gospel. Sometimes when Jesus wants to raise someone from the dead, He has to kill enough time to let them die because He doesn't want to do a healing. He wants to do a resurrection. So that's what He's doing here. He does the same thing with Lazarus. Maybe that's why God is waiting so long to answer some of your prayers right now. He wants to do a greater act of deliverance.
Give some thought to some of the times you've had to wait for one of God's long delays. You had a need, you prayed for something, it seemed to you like time was of the essence, and God's answer was, wait. Then, later on, you were able to see why that delay was good. In some cases, a yes answer right away might have been catastrophic. Now, I'm not suggesting you'll always be able to see why God's delays are good if you wait long enough in life. I'm not saying that. There are plenty of times we'll never see in this life why it was good. That's important to understand because many times people assume that they just think, if I can't think of a way that this delay could be a good thing, then that means it couldn't possibly be a good thing. And of course, that's an arrogant assumption. Just because you can't imagine something doesn't mean it's out of God's reach. However, there are many times when God does allow you to see it after a time. And recalling those times can be helpful for strengthening your faith so that you can trust God for the things that you can't see. So try to think of some times when God made you wait, and in retrospect, you can see how the delay was good, even though you couldn't see it at the time.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? A simple post on social media can change a person's day. This season, the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the Gospel of Mark. Over 130 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.